stole the bike, crashed the bike, and
I didn't steal it.
He took a ride on the wild side.
You were going to take the bike out without his permission.
But I'd ridden it before, so why?
You stole it!
And when he crashed,
your defense is your brother should have had insurance.
Exactly.
You're a moron.
He burned a lot of bridges.
There's a reason why your brother doesn't like you, because I don't like you, and I'm a pretty good judge of character.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Michael Lindbergh and his son Alex are suing Alex's brother, Marcus Lindbergh, for the value of a totaled motorcycle.
Order. All rise.
Now it's case number 535 on the calendar in the matter of Lindbergh versus Lindbergh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parsons have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Lindbergh, this is your son?
Yes, it
youngest
is.
Youngest son?
Oldest.
Oldest. And this is also your son. This is your brother.
Yes, ma'am.
Your father co-signed for a motorcycle for you. You wanted a motorcycle. What kind did you buy and when did you buy it?
It was a 2007 Yamaha FZ1. It was a 1,000cc sport touring motorcycle.
How much did you pay for it?
I paid approximately $10,100.
How much did you finance?
Financed all of it.
And your brother took the bike?
Yes, ma'am.
He didn't ask your permission on this particular occasion. He just felt like taking a ride, according to him.
Well, actually, Judge, we all...
Actually, that's what you wrote in your answer, that on the particular day of the accident, you felt like taking a ride. You did not ask your brother's permission on that day because you had taken the bike out before. You took the bike out and you totaled it.
Well,
that's what you said. I'm just repeating what you said.
Well, I understand that. But you know what? You lived under the same roof, so, and we used all each other's things, you know. I mean, he used my stereo, I used his car, he used mine. I mean, it was...
Fine.
I mean, we all were entitled to use each other's things.
Well, that doesn't mean that you're entitled to use each other's property, sir. Doesn't mean that you're entitled to go into his underwear drawer, he's entitled to go into your sock drawer, he's entitled to have access to your girlfriend, or you entitled to have access to his girlfriend. You don't share everything. If you had purchased this motorcycle together and had a joint liability for it, that's one thing, but you didn't. So I am correct that on the day that you totaled his bike, you hadn't asked for permission to take it, but you thought it would be okay because you had used it before. The answer would be yes. And tell me how you totaled the bike.
The motorcycle was over at my grandmother's house, and it was a nice day out, so I took the key.
What was it doing at your grandmother's house?
It's in storage. That's why I didn't have insurance
on them. Just a second. It was in storage?
Yes, ma'am.
That's not entirely true.
Just a second. You live with your father?
At the time, then. I lived, yeah, yes.
Then, what kind of place does your father have? I mean, is it a house? Is it
It's
a house.
Two-story, yeah.
Yeah, unfold your arms. Does it have a garage?
Yes, ma'am. It has a double car and a single car.
Now, tell me, when you took the bike over to your grandmother's house?
I store it there for the winter because I don't like riding in the winter. And I stored it there right around December.
No, that's not...
When did he take it there, sir?
He hardly ever kept it there. He just kept it there for a couple days.
Just listen to me. I can tell a wise guy from a mile away. If you think that you're going to give me an answer that I'm not going to be able to twist to make you look like an idiot, you're wrong. I can do that easily. I do it sometimes for sport with Smart Alex. Do you understand?
I'm not...
Do you understand? Now, you were living with your father, according to you, with your brother, under one roof and all sharing everybody else's property.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
How far does your father live from your grandmother?
Is
not an answer.
About 6 miles.
How did you get to your grandmother's house?
I drove his car.
Drove whose car?
My brother's car.
This brother's car?
Yeah, yes. Without a license.
Shut. Why did you take his car to go over to the grandmother's house? Was she at home?
Yes.
What's her name?
Eunice.
What's her phone number?
5-0-7.
And when you went there, did you see her?
No.
How did I know that after I got her phone number? So she wasn't at home.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you don't know. So you were going over there for a particular reason. You drove 6 miles over to where the bike had been stored to do what?
To go for a ride.
Okay. And then you totaled it.
Yes.
And your defense to this is your brother should have had insurance.
Exactly.
You're a moron. And a wise guy moron. Now, I might have been sympathetic to that argument. Don't shake your head at me. Put on your listening ears. I might have been sympathetic to your argument if the bike was in the house and it was being used by its owner.
Well, it gets
no,
used.
No. Listen. Put on listening ears.
Well, it gets
listening ears. Not your mouth. God gave you two ears and one mouth. There's a reason for that. But you drove to where the bike was stored because it was a nice day, according to you, and you wanted to take it for a ride. He did a responsible thing by storing it someplace else, probably so that you wouldn't get your hands on it. I don't know that for sure. If the bike was being used and it didn't have insurance on it, I might be sympathetic with at least part of your argument that you assumed that since the bike was being driven by its owner, it was insured as was required. That's what you said in your answer, sir. I'm just quoting you. But you went to pick up the bike where it was not being used, and you did that deliberately. He didn't drive it over there and say, well, I'm going to come back for it in an hour. I don't care if he left it there for a day, a week, a month, or 6 months. He brought it there for the purpose of not using it, which is why it wasn't insured. It didn't have to be insured if it was sitting in a garage.
Well, by law, it's supposed to be insured if it's financed.
That has nothing to do with you. Riding it is my problem. You see, if you're riding a motor vehicle and you're not insured, if you hurt somebody else, that's why the government gets involved. See, the government gets involved because they don't want idiots like you to hurt somebody without insurance. As between this young man and the finance company, if he had had an accident while he was riding in that bike, he was going to be responsible for that, and they were going to take it out of his check and his father's because he co-signed for it. But as between the moron who took the bike without permission, actually stole it, because if your grandmother wasn't home, she couldn't even give you permission to take it. And I'm absolutely positive that he asked your grandmother for permission to store his bike there. Absolutely positive. And once he gives his grandmother that authority, if you took the bike out of the garage without Eunice's permission and without his, then you stole it.
No, I didn't steal it.
You stole it. Stole it because you didn't have his permission that day, and you didn't have Eunice's permission, who was actually the bailor of that, because he left the bike there under her authority. So there's a reason why your father doesn't like you, and there's a reason why your brother doesn't like you, because I don't like you. And I'm a pretty good judge of character.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He's always going to be in trouble.
Just wish he'd own up to it.
He's always going to be in trouble.
How do you know that?
I know, because that's why I'm here for 14 years. Yeah. Always.
And later today.
There was a dent there on the car. Yes,
ma'am. You know, I'm going to shake you. I don't want to hear there was a dent on the car. Was this on the car when you took it? Yes or no?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Michael Lindbergh and son Alex claim Alex's brother, Marcus Lindbergh, took his motorcycle without permission and wrecked it.
Now, this case should never have gotten here. You should have said, I drove your bike, I totaled it, you got a $10,000 nut to pay off, or maybe $8,000 left. I don't know how much you have left. How much?
Well, it's $5,900. I actually made the first 2.5 years of the payment.
Minus the money that you used to salvage for the engine.
To live on?
No. Listen to me. I don't like when they shout out. But if you had $5,900 left on the loan, did you sell any of the parts?
Yes.
How much did you get for them?
I got $1,200 for the engine. That was all that was salvageable.
Okay, so your out-of-pocket expense is $4,700. Is that right?
Correct.
That you have to pay to the bank, right? Are you currently paying that?
Yes, it is. It is current, yeah.
It is current.
Always has been current.
You have proof of that?
Yes.
I'd like to see it.
Okay. There's three statements. The first one is the balance at the time of the crash, and the last
two. Does this son still live with you?
No.
When did he move out?
Long time ago. When you kicked me out, you mean? Back in 2005. think.
Are you telling me you kicked him out?
He hasn't lived with me for several years. I don't know where this came
from. Well, then
how did he lived with me.
Then how did he get to take this bike?
Alex had his own apartment at the time the bike was stolen. That's why the bike was stored at the grandmother's house, not at my house. They were both on their own. And he stole Alex's keys to his car, drove his car over to the grandmother's house, then stole the bike, crashed the bike, then fled the scene. And as I...
Yeah, because I needed to get help. And never mind.
Shut up. Listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you work?
Yes, ma'am.
You live alone?
I live with my cousin.
You've been living with your cousin in an apartment for a while?
About a year, yes.
You have a reasonable life?
It's a good life for now, yes.
Reasonable?
Yeah.
He's always going to be in trouble.
Just wish he'd own up to it.
He's always going to be in trouble.
How do you know that?
I know, because that's why I'm here for 14 years. Yeah. Always. Somebody who told me exactly what you did. You took his car and you went over to Grandma's house. Grandma wasn't home. You weren't going to ask for a cup of soup. You were going to take the bike out without his permission.
But I've ridden it before, so
without his permission. Did you ask permission to take his car to your grandmother's house?
No.
Got my drift. That's why, Marcus, that's why I know you're going to be in trouble forever. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $4,700. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
That they always prevail. It's always been them two, you know, their buddy-buddy. I'm disappointed that he feels that way. I've always been considered the black sheep of the family. He only needs to do the right thing and everything would be fine. The big bad guy, so it's all as a result of his actions.
Well, I draw that conclusion because it's always favoritism, you know?
Just want him to do what's right, and, you know?
It's always how, you know, we look alike.
Maybe apologize in the future.
We are alike, we're buddy-buddy.
That can be coaxed into his head.
For some reason, the system always seems to work out for my dad.
Because, honestly, he feels like,
and I don't know,
he's done nothing wrong and should just get away with it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Ibarra versus Randall. Step forward.
20-year-old Sasha Ibarra is suing her former friend, 23-year-old Philip Randall, for car payments and damage to a Camaro she attempted to sell him.
Ms. Ibarra, the defendant is your boyfriend's brother. Are you still involved with his brother?
No, I'm not.
You agreed to sell him a car that was yours.
Yes.
You set a price. According to you, he took the car. He didn't make the payments. You took the car back. You want money.
Yes.
He says you have the car. So let's figure out what's fair. Ms. Ibarra, what kind of car was this?
It was a 1984 Chevy Camaro.
Does our blue book go back to 1984?
Your Honor, it actually had a different engine in it, so it was worth more.
Negative.
Listen to me. I don't want to hear it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
When you gave him possession of the car, this was not there.
No.
And in the 6 weeks that he had the car, this was there and the rust.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
I cannot.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sasha Ibarra says former friend Philip Randall stopped paying on a car she sold him. Sasha has repossessed the vehicle, but claims it has been severely damaged.
Would you look to see the earliest possible date that goes back to Chevy Camaro?
1995.
Okay.
V6?
What was it?
It had a V8 in it, Your Honor.
V8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Convertible, two-door coupe?
It was two-door, not convertible or T-top.
Private party, good, 3825.
3825 in 1995.
That's right.
Fine. You agreed to sell him the car for how much?
$1,800.
And you took possession of the car?
Yes, I did.
Agreed to pay her $1,800?
Yes.
On what date did he take possession of the car?
November 10th, 2009.
You have a picture of the car?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to take a look at it. Okay. When did you retrieve the car?
December 27th of 2009.
So he had the car for about 6 weeks?
Yes.
How much did you pay her for the car?
My first was $100 for the down, and then I was going to pay her the rest of the $200.
Not what you were going to pay her. Yeah. How much did you actually pay her?
I paid her $100.
And why didn't you complete this transaction?
Because I had to put money into the car to keep it working.
So what? 1984 car, what did you think? It was going to run like it was made yesterday?
She told me there was nothing wrong with it, though, Your Honor.
You're 23 years old. Ever buy a car before?
Yes.
So, you know, you buy a used car, you buy it as it is. You're going to listen to a used car salesman on a lot telling you that there's nothing wrong with a car? No. If you want to do that, then you take it and say, I want to take it to a mechanic and let them check it out. And if it checks out, then I'll buy it. Mm-hmm. But you don't make an agreement to buy it and then say, I'm not going to follow through with my agreement and take possession of the property and then not pay for it. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you had sued him for the money, you would have been successful. But you took the car back.
Yes.
You have the car.
Yes, with damages done to it.
Well, I'm looking at the damage. This damage wasn't done in a month. There's rust here. This rust did not accumulate in 6 weeks. Are you alleging that he did this damage?
The pictures you have there, there are four of it sitting in his driveway, and those are when he first got the car. And then when I got the car back, that's what it looked like.
I'm talking about this dent.
Yes.
This one. Do you see which one this is?
Yes.
There are two. There's one.
Just one dent. It's the same dent, just different angle.
Oh, there looks like a dent in the car over here.
Nope. It's just the way the light shined on it.
No. There's a dent or a scratch over here. It's not the way the light shines on it. And what you're saying is that when you gave him possession of the car November 10th, this was not there.
No.
And in the 6 weeks that he had the car, this was there and the rust.
Yes.
Could you explain that?
I cannot, Your Honor. There was dents, scratches in the car when I bought it.
This is on the door.
Yes. There were dents and scratches in the car when I got it.
Listen, Mr. Randall, I'm asking you, look, would you show him this? Let's not play with each other, sir. That's not something you overlook. That's not a dent or a scratch. Dent or a scratch, I understand. I'm just asking you whether that was on the car when you took possession of the car on November 10th, 2009.
There was a dent there on the car. Yes, Your Honor.
So what did you do, make it worse?
No, Your Honor.
I didn't ask you that question. You're not going to, you know, I'm going to shake you. I don't want to hear there was a dent on the car. Was this on the car when you took it? Yes or no?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
That dent was there on the car when I got it, Your Honor.
This one?
Yes, Your Honor. And because of that dent, you know, the windows never closed all the way. There's air leaks.
Because of this dent, the windows didn't close all the way.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you knew that when you purchased it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. But the car ran pretty well?
Only on the way back home, Your Honor.
Okay. What did you do with the car, Ms. Ybarra?
I took it back from him.
Yes, and that was December 27th.
Yes. If I might add those pictures...
No, just answer my question.
Okay.
Where is the car now? And we're now in March.
It's in my possession.
Why didn't you sell it?
It has damage done to it.
So
I can't sell it for what it's worth.
It's a 1984 car.
I was sold it for $1,800. That's what I could have gotten out of it, and I can't get that out of it now because he damaged it.
Your Honor, I saw the car up in Odell for sale for $700, so she's trying to sell it.
I tried to, and nobody wanted to buy it because it's damaged.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Mr. Randall, on the 10th of November, 2009, did you make an agreement with her to purchase this car for $1,800?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Did you give her $100 and she turned over the car to you?
Yes.
Did you then fail to make the payments as agreed?
I did, only because I had to put the money that I was going to give her into the car so I can get to work, so I can keep making my paychecks.
I understand, but you understand that that's not an excuse for not paying her for the car. You buy a car as is. You do understand that?
Yes.
Okay. And you took the car back in December on the 27th?
Yes.
Fine. He's going to come and pick up the car. When he gets possession of the car, he's going to give you $1,700. Do you understand? Do you understand? Listen
to
me.
Not quite.
Very simple. He bought the car. That was your contract.
Yes.
He's going to get the car back.
Okay.
When he gets the car back, you're going to get a check for $1,700.
Okay.
Great, because that was his contract. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
Judgment for the plaintiff, $1,700, which will be exchanged at the time he gets the car. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Last thing I knew is that She was trying to sell it.
I was trying to sell it. Nobody wanted it.
For $700?
It has problems with it from when I took it back from him.
After trying to charge me $1,800 for it.
He put the dent in it.
Well, what happened with that was that I got hit by a deer.
Yes, he told me that he texted me and said that a deer had came out and hit him.
But it didn't put that dent in there.
I told him that I was going to sue him because there was damages done to the car.
Probably because she doesn't get to keep her car?
Totally ruined everything.
Never to trust people?
I don't understand what I did to them.